Welcome to the Getting Soul Fit podcast. I am your host, Melissa Page, addict, alcoholic turned sober and free, mental health advocate, guest speaker, fitness cover model, trauma-informed life coach, intuitive empath, lover of laughter, donuts, authenticity, and addicted to growth. Each episode, I will host a special guest or topic that will help empower you to conquer any and all obstacles and fears to rise. This show is your one-stop shop for raw truth and unapologetic growth. Welcome back to the show, and I am excited to introduce my next guest, Kevin Williams. He is known as the professing actor on social media, you guys. He was referred to me by one of my very good friends, Crystal. So she said he has one incredible story. He has overcome a lot of challenges, one of which is addiction, and is now not only a professor at Texas A&M University, but he is also an actor. Kevin, would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, certainly. Like you said, I'm an associate professor with Texas A&M University in Texarkana. I teach in the field of instructional technology and design. My background, actually, a little side note, boring side note, I have a doctorate in information systems.
Oh, wow.
A doctor of science in information systems with an emphasis in knowledge management, data management, decision support systems. And I never used any of those things, by the way, but boy, it's a mouthful to say. I'm married. I'm 16 years this year. We have six children, yours, mine, and ours. I'm 49 years old, and I recently had kind of a change of my life, and I'm really grateful to be on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. And congratulations and happy early wedding anniversary. Yeah, that's a lot. Wow. That is a lot. That's a lot of education, and it sounds very technical. So I'm sure you're an amazing professor. So can you tell us like what your journey has been like starting like, and you can go back as far as you would like, and you know, this is not this is a mental health podcast. So you can talk about whatever you would like to talk about. There's no topic that's off of, you know, off bar. So if you could tell us, like, what has your journey been like, you know, with your trials and these tribulations? And you can be, again, as transparent as you would like and discuss your life from as early as childhood, if you would like as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the name of the show, using the words soul and fit, getting your soul in fit and in shape. And I think that's really, really beautiful to think about. So probably, let's see, it's been 826 days, I believe, today since I've had a drink.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. That's big awesome. Birthday. That's a lot of days. Yes. And I'm very proud of that. You know, in that sobriety time, I learned that I wasn't an alcoholic. I was actually a drug addict. I mean, years ago, I worked at Walmart, and I was a stock person going through college, my undergraduate. And every spring, we put up that greenhouse. And that greenhouse one time fell on me, and that fell on my leg, pinned me down, and I ended up in the hospital. I didn't break my leg, but I ended up on painkillers. This was in the late 90s, and they were still handing out those pills like they were candy back then. So I started eating them like candy, and next thing I know, the doctor said, oh, you've had too many. And I replaced that with alcohol, for I guess because they're both depressants, and they both I don't know. It was the legal version of what I couldn't get any longer. And 826, 825, somewhere in there is where I'm at today. And I hadn't reached rock bottom probably. I mean, I was probably digging sideways, trying not to hit the bottom, you know, something like that, maybe. But I was tired, and I don't know that my life was going to continue in a positive way if I continued doing that.
Yeah.
And so, that was a really big deal. But, you know, if I could back up a couple of months before that, I had got recently gotten in the gym, and my son, who's a football player throughout high school, he wanted a gym membership, and to get that gym membership, I had to get a gym membership, and I didn't want to actually use that thing. That was hard to use in your mid-40s, and I didn't want to, you know. And I think I paid for that thing maybe 2 years, and I made the joke, that I had that membership 2 years, my body hadn't changed yet. I'm gonna go check it out and see what's going on up there. And so I go in, and I'm not gonna say I fell in love at all, because I hated it, and I just kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going until I didn't hate it. And my mom died in that same time frame,
I'm
and
sorry.
she passed from COVID. And so I had a whole lot of really weird, odd things going on, or to me, odd and weird, sobriety. That was pretty damn weird. And your mom passing, that's not going to ever be cool. And
Gosh,
being in the gym, that was just a weird life change for me. And I'm 46 at the time, almost 47. And I'm 5'8" roughly, and I've lingered around 220 most of my life, 220 pounds. And it seems like in dudes, there's like two body types: the guys who hold the fat everywhere, and then the guys who hold the fat in the front and try to drop the belt line, right?
I'm
You,
not trying
that
to
guy.
laugh. I'm like
Yeah.
picturing
No, dude, I'm the belt line dropper. And I had a pretty big beach ball up there, and I had it for years, and I just assumed this is what old people did. We get fat, we retire, we die, whatever we do, right? That's just what old people do. So I was fat, and it was fine. And so it was anyway, I got through this life change. I started in the gym. I really started enjoying it. I start shedding a few pounds, and I hit about 180, and I'd hit 180 many a time in my life, and that was always my threshold of I couldn't get past that. And this time I figured out how. And I pushed through that, and I pushed through, and I pushed through, and I kept telling myself, when I'm going to get 160, that's going to be the weight. And I never, I assume I found that weight by now. But what I realize is the body will tell you what you're supposed to weigh, not you. So,
Absolutely. Metabolic set point, right?
absolutely. So anyway, yeah, that was free, by the way. All right. So back to that story. I've lost this weight. Now this is fast forward a little bit to maybe June of 22. In June of 22, my wife and I and a couple of my kids were on a pier in Florida, in Pensacola, Florida. And those really long piers, right? Where we get all the way to the end of it, we circle back, come around, and I'm lean at this point. I'm like maybe 150, 155 pounds. I'm feeling good. You know what I mean? I feel like I could jump 10 feet high now. Obviously I couldn't, but and I'm walking past down this pier, and this movie star looking frat boy from that movie, whatever came to mind, that movie, he's standing there, and he's got the shorts drawn down a little bit, and he's got the shirt open, man. He's got these killer abs. I mean, just like boom. And I'm like, whoa. And I told myself, I said, I'll never have that again. And I'm like I say, I'm 47 now, and or at that time on that pier, and I'm thinking, I'll never have that again. And I realized I don't like when I tell myself never. And so I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked and worked, 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 worked. And I told myself then, or I was gonna have an 8-pack by 50. And I beat that before I turned 49, by the way, and I got the 8-pack by then. All right, so back to the summer of 22. I'm 47 years old. I work out, I work out, I work out. I'm having a great time, and my son is a junior and a senior in high school that year, and he's a football player, big boy, 6'3", 6'4", 330. I mean, big
Oh
fella,
man, he's big. Yeah, he's
and
tall.
he had several colleges talking to him, and he ended up getting a couple scholarship opportunities. And
Oh,
anyway.
nice.
I'm telling him and my daughter, my younger daughter at the time, that they could be whatever they want to be when they grow up. They could truly do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm feeling inspired. I lost a whole bunch of weight and I'm feeling good. And I got, you know, I'm working towards that six pack at the time, you know, and I'm feeling great about myself. And I told him, I said, I could be a model or an actor. I said, y'all could do whatever you want. I could be a model or an actor if I wanted. And they laughed at me. And you know how kids laugh at their parents. Yeah. Oh, you can't, you're old and can't whatever. And I'm like, oh, bet. Right.
Yeah.
And I just auditioned for American Ninja Warrior that was going that season.
I know that show.
I never heard anything back from them. I got an email back saying they got my audition. I never heard anything else, but I got to audition and it was really cool. And I was so inspired and I was feeling all big and grown up. Right. And I tell them that and I'll do a lot of stuff for an I told you so. So I start checking around and I find some classes and this little audition, right? This little thing.
Uh-oh, I think you're frozen.
And called in for. Oh, yes.
Hey, Kevin.
Walk in
and I'm hearing you break
I linger
up a little
for a
bit.
Minute and I see a stage and I. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, goodness.
Okay.
Is that better?
It's a little
can you
bit
hear me?
Better. I can hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So this audition, I go in and I see this stage and I see people and I go, oh, what the hell? No way. I could do that on a stage in front of people. Do they think I'm an actor? Oh, yeah, I'm trying to be one. Wait.
Right.
And I end up chickening out. I chickened out and I drove home.
Oh,
and I said,
okay.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, I chickened out. I can't do it. I lied to my kids. You really can't be whatever you want. But I called them and I'm like, dude, that was, it wasn't a homeless man lingering around. That was me. I'm sorry about that. And they invited me back and I went back and I didn't chicken out and I moved forward a little bit. And ask me how many times I've told those kids, I told you so. Ask me.
How many?
Yeah, a bunch. Every chance I get.
Yeah,
we can all truly be whatever we want.
100%.
And so we fast forward a little bit of time. I took some acting classes. I was on my first set May of last year, and I was a background actor, and I did not even make the final anything on the floor, right? But and I didn't figure I would after I left because I realized all I did was stand around looking at things with my mouth wide open going, oh my God, this is so cool. And this is a funeral scene. So of course I didn't make that final cut, but so I was blessed to get to be in several other little things after that. But anyway, I'm sorry. I ramble. I'm very bad.
No,
at
that's
that.
Okay.
So,
that's what,
so
we, that's what the interview's for.
so back to those, tribulations as trials and whatever. Man, I struggled. I mean, struggled. And I was quite a good addict. I really was. I was good at being an addict. And when I couldn't get those drugs, I got really good at being a drunk too. And I went through college. I've had very professional jobs for many, many years. And I went through college all this time and I've probably been an alcoholic for 23 years of my life. I probably was. I don't know how that bottle didn't end up back in my hand 2 days later, 4 days later, eight days later after, you know, of 820, whatever days ago. And it's only grace of God. That's it for me. That was my answer.
It sounds like, you know, and this is the sad truth about people sometimes have this idea in their head of what an addict looks like. And one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my own sobriety is that it doesn't look the same on everybody. The feelings are very similar. The feelings, right? Of feeling hopeless and what do I do? And I can't stop. And I can't see the end of the tunnel, you know, that sort of thing. I can't see the light. you know. But it doesn't, a lot of addicts are very, you know, they have jobs, they're working, they have families, their husbands, their wives, you know, and there are addicts that
and they're miserable.
And they're absolutely. And that's the one thing that like all of us have in common is the misery. You know, it's like, I don't think anybody gets sober because they're having the time of their life. You know, that wouldn't entice you to want to get sober, right? And sadly, you know, a lot of, you know, addiction as it comes to like addiction with pills, it's every story I've ever heard, it's always a situation where someone got hurt and they were prescribed something that was extremely addictive, you know? And one of the things that I've learned too is like, and I'm sure you've probably experienced this as well, is anytime I go to the doctors, I have to advocate for myself, because I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the doctors in sobriety and they want to give me something. And I'm like, just so you know, I am in recovery. I'm sober. I can't take any painkillers, any narcotics or anything. And they're like, oh, I know, but this is like a little narcotic. It's not, I'm like, I really can't. Like, we can't do this. You do not want to see me on narcotics. It's not a good idea. But one of the things, you know, I tell people too, is like, you have to advocate for yourself. And even with the medical field, even with doctors. So what is like one piece of advice you could share for people that are maybe currently battling addiction? They're currently in it. They're in the middle or the thick of it. Like, what is one thing that like, or a few things that you could share that that helped you?
Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, try to play with a, you know, I'm this much of an addict, so this is how you can do it at this level or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a hardcore addict, and I would imagine you are, and mm-hmm. most people who are really understanding who they are these days probably would admit it. I mean, there was no length I would go through to make sure I had my drink wherever that family vacation was going to be. What it didn't matter. I mean, mm-hmm. none of that mattered. I just had to make, but anyway, the advice is a hard one, but I can hopefully give you hope here and tell you that if this extremely weak person did it, you can. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a very strong family structure, so I'm very blessed there.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's equal there. So when you think of advice, you know, I can't give advice on that level, obviously, but you know, whoever those people are that you ran around and did those things with, you probably need to change that. If you still hang out mm-hmm. with those people, you probably need to stop.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest thing we have to change.
Yes, definitely they say playgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. I am blessed in the sense that some of the friends that I used to drink with, you know, they, as it turned out, they weren't just party friends, they were true friends. And when I would pretend to go home because I was done drinking, that's when I would rev it up. You know, because those friends I didn't get wasted with because they didn't have a problem with drinking. And so when I got sober, I was still able to maintain those friendships. They understood that we wouldn't be drinking together, but I did get rid of, not get rid of, that sounds horrible. I did lose a lot of people I thought were true friends that, as it turned out, you know, and this goes for me too. I was a party friend. So, you know, I couldn't, you do have to change your environment, you know, otherwise you're going to get triggered and that drink is going to look a little too easy to sip. We don't sip anything, but
yeah,
to consume.
No, no, this is my sipping glass right here.
I was talking to a friend the other day and I said, this is the insanity of it. Like, I remember when my weekends became longer, right? It went from Friday, Saturday binge drinking to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday being my low key night. And so I would like watch intervention. I would watch intervention while drinking wine. because it's classy, right? But I was drinking wine pretty much from the bottle, and I was drinking the entire bottle of wine while I was psychoanalyzing how messed up these people were that were just like me, which is really funny. But yeah, definitely changing your playground, so to speak, is so important. You know, and as you, I'm sure you've experienced this too, once you claim it that you're going to be sober, you end up meeting people that are on the same journey. So it's kind of like the universe, God, whatever you believe in, transpires along with you to make it happen, right? So
manifesting, whatever word you want to use, these 100%. Things become, and it's amazing. The whole journey is amazing because I'm probably on the spectrum, and just that's who I am. And I've never really taken the time to get to know who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know who I was really when I was drinking, because I was numb. You know what I mean? That's I wasn't a person.
Yeah.
I was fulfilling a duty, or I don't know. I was a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, getting to experience and getting to know who you are as an individual, you know, might be the greatest gift that anyone can get from sobriety.
Yeah.
You know, actually knowing you, learning to love you. And I realize I'm a pretty cool dude. I'm actually all right, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned that, you know, I'm not saying I'm not intelligent. I mean, I'm obviously a little bit on the intelligent side if I have a doctorate and I'm a professor.
I would say so.
but over intelligence, I'm a hard worker. That's what I wanted to make sure I got across. I'm going to take the time and do the work and get the thing. I'm going to do that. Whatever that is I set my mind to, I will do all of it.
Yeah.
And that's served me well in sobriety.
Yeah.
Being that person. And it served me well in my health, fitness. And it as long as I'm focusing on the blessings instead of the ugly,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to be going forward. You know, we, in our lives, we have, I call them blessings. We call them whatever we want, but in one hand I have blessings, and in one hand I have all the drama and the crap, right?
Yeah.
I have equal, or I have the same amount in my life, no matter which hand I look at,
mm-hmm.
right? I have the same amount of blessings going to happen, whether I look at the negatives or the blessings. And I have the same amount of negatives that are going to happen, whether I look more in this favor or that favor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a happier person when I look at the positive stuff in my life. When I look at the negative and I focus on the negative, I'm a negative person. It doesn't change the fact that I still have these positive things going on. I just can't really see them. But when I take the time and I focus on the positive, those negatives don't affect me as bad as they used to. And it doesn't draw me to get the bottle.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%. And
so if that could be twisted into advice, please use that if you're still suffering, whoever's listening.
That's actually amazing advice. You know, it's I don't believe that humans are meant to be like obviously happy all the time. That's not living, right? We get to, when we're sober, we get to experience all the emotions.
All of them.
Yep. All of them. And I look at it like we don't have to, but we actually get to. And I do believe that, like, you know, yes, no matter what, you're going to have the mess and you're going to have the blessings, right? And that is excellent advice, to focus on the blessings. You're going to have both regardless. But the thing is, too, is sometimes that mess is put in your path to show you the opposite, to show you your blessings, to shine light on what you do have. And also I think it's there to elevate you. You know, if it wasn't in your, I mean, I do believe that like things are presented to you, even when we're like, I can't take one more thing happening and I can't do this and I won't be able to do it. It's like, well, if you weren't able to do it, you wouldn't be presented with it.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, and
And I believe we have all kinds of growth opportunities, and whether we grow up or down, Yeah. You know, we've got growth opportunity. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I focused on the negative most of my life. And I'm not saying I had a bad life. I had a pretty good life already, you know, and, but it got so much better when I started seeing it different. And I pushed out all the negative and ugly, and I crammed my heart full of Care Bears and rainbows and all the good stuff.
Care Bears.
Whatever
That's
those
a
are.
throwback. I remember
Just
those
try to
things.
pack the fun stuff in there, not the ugly. And I don't know. If I can set that outlook every day, I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'm sure, like, look at all the opportunities it's given you. You know, and I was going to ask you, like, how has your acting journey been so far, to go from being told, like, you're not going to be able to do it, to I'm going to do it, to be, it resonates with me. Anytime you start a new journey, it's freaking scary. You know,
oh man,
it's so scary, but it's so awesome.
it's funny for me because I'm at the top of my game as a professor, and I go for full this next year. I'm not sure I'll get full, but I've met the requirements to get full professor. I'm tenured already.
Nice.
I've got 5 more years, 5 almost 6 years till I retire. So, you know, I'm already at a great place. And I got to thinking, you know, if I do something like this, you're gonna start completely over, Kev, at the bottom. You're kind of at the top here.
Right.
And if I could add more, I'm a department chair at work. I've
Oh,
been
awesome.
doing this for a very long time, and I'm at a high point, and I'm going to go be at the bottom, and it blows my mind. And after I played in the sandbox a little bit, I'd like to go to the bottom and see if I can work my way up on that game too.
Yeah.
Because why not? Why not? Let's go. I'm not scared.
Well, and I
You
feel
know,
like
I've done harder stuff than that.
Yes,
So
getting sober is harder than a lot of things,
yes,
right? And I'm like, I do honestly. I have a lot of respect for the people that got sober during COVID, because I can't even.
Drunker.
Well, and a lot of people did get drunker, right? Like, a lot of people did. I know that the shutdowns, the lockdowns, I know why it was done, and I have my own opinions on it, but I also feel that it definitely negatively impacted health, mental health, and
education and mental health. Yep.
Yes. And a lot of people, you know, if I had been drinking, I would have, I know this may not make sense to people that aren't alcoholic, but I think you'll get it. If I had been drinking still at that point in my life, I would have been drinking even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would
I
have been
was. It makes
off.
sense. And I
yeah
was.
And it's so getting sober during that time frame, and having, you know, a parent pass, and also, you know, starting a fitness journey, that's like one of those three things is enough to knock somebody off kilter. You know, two of those things are enough to really shake somebody, right? But all three, it's like, wow, you know. So it is a testament to the kind of person that you are, and when you want something, you will go get it, which is huge. Because I think one of the biggest things that keeps people from greatness is self-doubt. You know, it's not the finances. It's not to say that stuff doesn't matter, but in my
and it's not about ability, because we all have it.
Yep.
Yes, it's about tenacity, maybe.
Yep.
And I'm a very weak person in a lot of ways, and my self-esteem is still crap. It really is. You know, when you drink that long that heavily, good luck getting a good self-esteem on the end, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, mine's much lower than it should be, I'll tell you that. And I've earned a better self-esteem than I have, you know, and I'm going to get it, though. I will.
No, you are. And
because
you know,
it's going
that.
To happen.
Claim that shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I own
when
it,
you
girl.
say
I'm going to own it.
When you say I'm weak, I'm like, no, I just want to scream. Like, no, you're not. No one who's weak, first of all, weak people don't say they're weak. You know what I mean? There's a there's such a strength in vulnerability and owning who you are and just where you're at, you know, and weak is not who
You're
you
calling
are.
me out on being humble is what you're doing. You called me out on being humble.
No,
But
there's being humble is great, but anyone that is on a path of transformation, whether it getting sober, you know, starting a new journey into fitness, starting a new journey into acting, starting a new journey at a new job, you know, starting a new journey as a professor, whatever, and you're molding minds, and you're a father, and you're a husband, like that's not weak. I wouldn't call that weak. I think that
Well,
also, you know.
I was very weak when I was drinking.
Yeah.
I'm not near as weak now. But
Yeah.
if you put a double pack of Three Musketeers in front of me, I will eat it right now.
Yeah.
So
I think everybody has their
I'm still
thing.
weak in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I do. I will say, like, donuts are my kryptonite. That's what I call them.
Well, I think it's a joke when they call that a share size.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
not sharing that.
And I don't keep, you know, as a sidebar, I'm like, I don't keep, honestly, there's certain foods that I don't keep in my apartment because I will not. I am an addict and that I don't think that'll ever go away. I'm in remission is how I look at it. You
Right,
know, I'm in remission.
100%.
If I
said.
don't stay the course, I could easily go back to ground zero, which to me actually, cause it's very progressive. It may not be ground zero. It may be, not to sound dramatic, but I might drink and drive. I might do something stupid like that, or I might harm somebody, or, you know, whatever, harm myself. So I do know, you know, where I'm at is I'm in remission, but I am an addict through and through. So there's certain foods that I don't keep in my apartment, like Oreos. I can't keep in my apartment.
Oh no,
because I
those
don't
are the
eat.
devil.
No, I don't eat, like,
That's
you know
the
how
whole package.
yeah, I eat the whole, like the whole family pack, no matter what. It's like, I don't understand the whole, like, there's like a little small pack that you can get on the aisles when you're cashing out at the register.
No
And
way.
I'm like, that's stupid. I'll grab like four
That'd
of
make me
them.
angry.
Yeah, exactly. So you get it, but.
I pretend like I'm an only child. I have siblings. I just tell them I'm an only child and I get the whole package of Oreos. Yeah. That to me, that's how it should work. But
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't keep that stuff in my house
No,
either.
I don't either. No.
Cause I will eat it.
Absolutely. So regarding the acting, how has it been so far?
It has opened my eyes. It really has. So much that I've been doing this a little over a year since I took my first acting class. And I'm toying with a script that I'm writing, and it just
Oh.
blows my mind,
That's so
the
cool.
creativity that opens up in something like this. It's been really phenomenal. I've met some just outstanding people. A year ago, I couldn't have told you a single actor that I knew, and now I could tell you, you know, 100, and it's
Yeah.
mind blowing. And I just got added. This is a little. To tell you how much I just adore these people that I've met. I just posted on a new casting site that I just became a part of just before the podcast began. And I
Oh.
looked, and three of my friends had seen that in that group acting group and commented on it. And they were all like, love you and stuff like that. And, you
Oh.
know, all my life, I've never had a tribe. And I've
Oh
had
gosh.
friends, I've had colleagues. I have a tribe. I mean, it's a real group of people.
Yeah.
I've got a place to crash in Dallas or Houston or San Antonio or Austin. I have a place to crash. I'm almost 50 years old and I got a place. That's crazy. You know, it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
I've gotten to spend a week in Florida on a project. I've done quite a few things local. It's been a blast.
That's
Just an
amazing. And
absolute blast.
having a tribe is so, it's so important. Whether you're sober or not, you guys, like, people need people, you know, but especially, like, oh my gosh, if you are sober, it's important to have people, you know, it's so
Well, you know,
important.
I'm like I said, probably on the spectrum. I've been an introvert most of my life. I've never liked crowds. I've never liked being in the spotlight. I've never wanted to be an actor until I told my kids I could be one. And I've never thought I needed friends or a tribe. I've had friends all my life. I've had some wonderful friends. I mean, some of the best you can imagine. Take a bullet for you kind of friends. But I've never had a tribe. And I never knew I needed a tribe. And my God, if I needed some help with anything, I got about 50 numbers I can call right now. It's mind blowing.
It's
I thought
amazing.
it'd be a bunch of scumbag jerks just because of what the news would say about actors and, my interpretation of who they probably are. And my God, they're the most giving, sweetest, good-natured artist. They're not what I thought at all. I don't know, it blew my mind. But I think I understand something and I don't continue to delve into it. So if I would have just gone all my life thinking actors are probably jerks, because I don't know, it's mind blowing. Mind blowing. I love these people.
I think that I think it's testament too to like it's like what we were chatting about earlier, how the universe transpires, and it's like what you're seeking, you will find, which can be good or bad, you guys. So like, if everything is shit, everything is shit, right? If you think everything is bad, everything is bad. But if you're claiming it that you want to be an actor and that there's some part of your soul that is yearning for connection, right? Community. You will find that. I mean, there are actors
Absolutely.
that are not nice people. There are, just like there's coaches that are not great people. There's
Oh yeah,
people are
no doubt.
people. You will find you
Teachers,
will.
there's a bunch of scumbag teachers, yeah.
Yes, there's there, but there's also a lot of amazing people. And
Yeah.
I really believe community is so important. So fun question. If you could act with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Oh, I didn't actually prepare that answer. I should have.
Well, that's better because
There,
now it's just
there's, yeah, that's, I
on the
really did not
fly.
prepare for that. About 20,500 people came to mind somewhere in there. Truth, like big star, is that who you're talking about?
Anybody. Yeah. I mean, or it could, I mean, honestly, it could be any, yeah, if it could be someone you know, or it could be, yeah, if someone came to you and said, hey, there's a great opportunity to be in this like huge movie, whatever kind of movie
I
it
tell
is.
you, I would like to work with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the reason. It's not, I mean, I think he's a great actor. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not like a huge fan or anything. I really, really barely a fan. There's some shows, but there was an X-Men episode he was on and he had his shirt off in there. And I think my abs are better than his now. And I'd like to see. So I would like to work with Ryan Reynolds so I could
It's
see
a
his freaking
competitive
abs.
thing. That's funny.
That's probably who. But as far as a person, I'd like to have a glass of tea with Morgan Freeman.
Oh my gosh,
I think that'd be
yes.
amazing. I
Yes.
used to say a beer with him, and now I don't want a beer. I want a glass of tea, or maybe just
Yeah.
a glass of water, honestly. But yeah, I'd like to just pick his brain, not because of the acting, but like his
Yeah.
shows on The Search for God, or those
Oh.
shows that he did on history that were kind of documentary.
Yeah.
And he's an amazing dude. I'd like to know him a little bit better. So,
You know, a lot of actors are sober. And some of them you wouldn't, and I'm not saying you wouldn't believe, but there are some that I found out were sober and I was like, oh, I knew it. I knew they were my people. Like, there are certain people that I'm like, Morgan Freeman may be one of them. Maybe. I'm not
they
sure.
just show that, don't they? Those people,
Yeah.
they just have it and you see it and it's like,
Well,
oh yeah,
sometimes you
you're
do.
yeah.
Sometimes you do. And sometimes like I had a feeling about some singers and I'm very, that's a whole nother topic. I'm very sensitive to energy and you can tell a lot looking into someone's eyes, but more so than that too, some of their music, you could feel their music and you can feel the story through their music. You know, a lot of entertainers, a lot of singers actually do sing about their sobriety, but we have other singers like Lana Del Rey, right? She's sober. She's one of my favorites, personally, one of my favorite female singers. And she's got a story. And a couple of her songs that I listened to, I was like, damn if she's not telling my story without telling my story, without using the words addiction and alcohol and drugs and escape and stuff. But the feelings that she expressed, I was like, I wonder if that woman is sober. And as it turns out, she is sober. So it's pretty cool. But I have another fun question, or maybe it's not a fun question, but it's something I wanted to ask. If you could go back in time and tell your teenage self something, what would it be?
Probably call in sick that day at Walmart. No, I'm probably kidding there.
yeah.
I wouldn't, but that journey, probably tell him it's worth it. Yeah. It's going to be worth it. So that's probably what I'd like to tell him. Yeah. You know, probably tell him not to eat that processed crap. Don't eat that processed food. What
it
is wrong
so
with
good, that? Though. But I know what you're
lasagna
saying.
Lasagna tastes good for a reason, man. It's addicting. Yeah. But that kind of crap. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I tell myself, don't eat that. Don't drink that stuff. Don't do those things.
Right.
Stay in the gym and be healthy.
Yep.
So now I plan to run a 5K this year, and I should have run it when I was young. So I've never run a 5K. It's always been on my list, and I'm gonna do it this year. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, because you're talking about it. Of course it's gonna happen.
Yeah, you know? I'm gonna make it happen.
Absolutely. So
I'll come in last. I don't care. It don't matter to me. I'm gonna finish it.
What if you finish first?
I might want to. Right? We'll see when I wake up that day.
Exactly. You're like, I'll see. So you kind of discussed about, you know, you're writing a script. Is there anything else that you would like to add for the listeners, or anything that you have coming up that you would like to chat about?
I don't know what I can and can't chat about. That's how new I am. That's how dumb I am right now. I'm excited. Right now we're taking applications. If anybody wants to pursue their master's in instructional design and technology,
we're taking applications
right now. One film that I'm a part of is called The Cyber Psycho Chronicles. We should have a red carpet for it probably next month, I'm assuming.
Oh my gosh.
For the pilot episode. Very excited about that. I am that cyber psycho. Do I look like a cyber psycho? I could be. I could be. I probably am.
I gotta say, I am a psychology nerd, and one of the things that I really enjoy doing is watching psychological thrillers and psychological documentaries. And I can tell you a lot of information about every single serial killer that's famous. And I would say you don't look like the typical psychos that I've seen.
Yeah.
But maybe. We'll have to see the pilot. We'll just have to see the pilot.
We're going to have to see the pilot.
Yeah, because, you know, people, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of psychopaths that people, like, you know, at first glance, they look completely normal and kind. And then there was a lot going
on. I don't think I
actually
look that scary. Children reach for me. Strangers' children reach for me. And it kind of blows my mind. I think I look like this and they shouldn't reach for me, but they do.
It's your energy then. That's a good thing.
Well, I try to throw it out. I do.
Yeah.
I tell you something. I just finished a little being part of a small film that is going to be in film festival, I think, by the 26th of this month in San Antonio.
Nice. Okay.
And I can't give any details, but you know, I went from chickening out a little over a year ago on an audition to a couple of weeks ago, I submitted an audition for one of the lead roles in a major series that will start filming in this fall if I were to get a role in that. And that blows my mind. It blows my mind. I don't anticipate getting it. I don't anticipate not getting it. I'll put it that way. God is good, and he does all kinds of things. So who knows? I guess if I could presume that I shouldn't get it, then I shouldn't have got the audition to begin with. So, right.
There's a reason. I do believe, I'm one of those people too that I believe that, like, I'm not saying every little thing happens for a reason, but I do think that most things do happen for a reason. And these opportunities that, for whatever reason, you don't get, it's not a you didn't get it, period. It's like, if you really want something, I believe you didn't get it right now, but that's because something even better is coming. I mean, there's so many times when, like, I haven't gotten something that I really wanted, and I'm like, man, and I'm like, oh, why'd this happen? Or that sucks. I worked so hard. But then, little did I know, there's something even better coming along. A friend told me, when I was first getting sober, she told me, because I was like, I want to say I was like 2 months sober, and I started crying, and she was like, what's going on? And she was a sobriety mentor to me. And I said, I'm afraid that I won't get what I want. Like, I drank partly because I wanted to escape how bad I felt. Now that I'm not drinking, I'm facing how I feel, and I'm feeling very uncomfortable, and I don't know what's going to happen. And how do I was kind of freaking out. I was having a moment of, how do I know that I'm ever going to be happy? And when's it going to happen? And all these things. And she said, Melissa, it's simple. She said, whatever you believe in spiritually, God, Buddha, whatever the hell you believe in, it doesn't matter. The universe would not put longing in your heart if it didn't expect to fulfill it. And I was like, damn. And I'm going to tell you that sentence, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Like, it is stuck with me my whole life, because that is true. I find that when there's a repetitive theme in your mind, even if it sounds crazy and you're like, I can't believe I'm even thinking of this, but I really want to do this thing, or I really want to call in this person, or I really want to meet more friends, or whatever that looks like, the universe, God, whatever, will, I believe it, as long as you put one foot in front of the other and show up, because faith without works is dead, right?
There it is. There it is.
You will get the thing, even if it seems crazy, you'll get it.
I'm a firm believer in that, and it's not. I had a moment of realizing I was really a spoilt little kid, right? I hadn't heard back from that audition in a couple of weeks, so I assume I hadn't gotten it. And it kind of made me a little bit sad, right? And I was thinking, oh, bummer, man. And then I got to thinking, what is wrong with me? You've got this role coming up, you've got that role coming up. You're doing some amazing stuff. If I were to quit right now, I would say I was a successful actor. If you're working, how are you not a successful actor? Right? I mean, because you get to define that. Right, it's not based on anybody else's definitions.
No,
Are we successful at things? It's based on
it's on
ours.
your, yeah, it's how do you define success? And the other thing is, a lot of us suffer from, what do they call that, imposter syndrome, where
Of course, yeah.
I catch
I'm an
myself doing
imposter,
it.
aren't you?
Man, totally. Like, I've been, I've been, I'm multi-passionate like yourself, and like a lot of people that I know, that I meet, I should say, we're multi-passionate beings. Most people are, actually. It's just a matter of, are you going to do it or not, right? Like, are you going to say, I'm only this story and this is my title, or are you going to go, no, I want to check this out, I want to check that out. And one of the things that I'm passionate about, is I love modeling, and I've been a model for a while, but I still catch myself going, I still down, I what do you call it when you like downplay it, and people are like, you're doing what?
Minimize.
Yeah, I minimize, and they're like,
Minimize.
what are you do? You're gonna be in a magazine, you're gonna shoot here, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, and then I go, oh, but it's just this thing, it's just a feature. And they're like, that's insane, like, that's amazing. And I'm like, oh, because I it's that whole, it's that, and it's all tied into self-doubt too. It's that whole like self-doubt, like, and I'm like, why am I saying that I want to be a model? Like, no, I am a fucking model. Like, why am I
There you
saying
are.
I want to be a coach? I am a fucking coach, I do have a podcast, so it's
Yeah, I
like,
don't want to be an actor. I am an
you are
actor.
an
It
actor.
just is what it is.
And you don't want to be
And
sober, you are sober. And you don't want to be
I am.
healthy, you are fucking healthy,
Yeah.
right? So
You're absolutely right. And if you can keep yourself thinking that way, You know, I have to reset myself quite often.
Me too.
And remind myself I'm good enough and I'm smart enough. And how's it go? And gosh darn it, people like me, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to go? So.
And you're, and you know, honestly, to take it a step further, your story, you know how you said earlier, because I went through, I did that too. I've done that a few times. I don't do that anymore. But where I've been like, yeah, if I could go back in time, I would, maybe I wouldn't be an addict. But I'm like, no, I think I would be.
Yeah, I think I should be.
I think I needed to be, because like, what if, and this will happen if it hasn't already, and I'm sure it has, someone is going through it right now and they are like, I can't get sober. I'm fill in the blank. You know how we can
yes,
talk.
Yes, you can. I love you. And yes, you can do this. I promise you can do this.
But then they see
your
story.
That's what I want them to hear that.
Right. Take notes, you guys. But they see your story and they're like, maybe I can. You know what I mean? So sometimes you are the light that's showing the person on the trail that the trail goes this way. If you want to get to where you're going, here's the fucking light. Go.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to show you how I did it. And I didn't think I could do it. I know at one point I didn't think I could get through a weekend without drinking. That was like a, you know, so it's, I really.
Mine was day three. I couldn't break day three,
day
man.
Day three was hard. Day three's hard. Day three's hard. I don't know why day three's hard for a lot of different, quitting a lot of different things. It's day three. And I think it has to do with the chemicals in your brain and your serotonin and everything starting to level out around day three. There's parts throughout your journey where your brain is rewiring and there's specific.
Yeah, I heard it in the three days, 3 weeks, 3 months.
Yes. Yes. So, yes. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And then a year is a big one. That's a big one. But yeah, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close out for the listeners?
Well, thank you for letting me come on here and talk. Yeah. I hope I didn't ramble too much. I hope some of it maybe made sense. I hope. If I can speak to that one person maybe that's out there that is an addict, I do want you to know that are still struggling with addiction, I should say. You really can do this, and it really, really, really is worth it. 100%. I'm a historic introvert who now wants to be in front of a camera. How funny is that one? And I'm an old guy with a six pack, and that's pretty funny stuff. And we can do all the things. We really, really can. Yeah. You don't just have to tell your kids that stuff. You can do it too.
Well, and you can be your kid's hero.
Well, they don't doubt me. I can guarantee that.
Absolutely. They get to see it, and it's teaching them too to just go for what they want to go for in life, right? And don't let haters, don't let naysayers, don't let doubters get in the way, and that includes yourself.
Of course. And if you could learn to be your own cheerleader, you'll do it quicker and easier probably than I did.
Oh, same. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Once again, you guys, I will link Kevin Williams' IMDb link in the show notes, along with his links to contact him. Please also be sure to check out the show for more resources and links. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to refer a friend. And if you would like to connect with me at the Melissa Page on IG for more resources and life coaching breakthrough sessions, thank you for listening and supporting me. And if you're new and want to receive these and resources the minute that they come out, please email me at gettingsoulfitpodcast@gmail.com. And I promise to only send you the good stuff. Give it up to the warriors, standing for a change. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out the show notes for today's details on the show and be sure to share with a friend and subscribe. I really love hearing feedback from you, so please leave a review and let me know what resonated in the comments. Just a reminder, you matter, you are amazing, and you are a warrior.